Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, if you would. Colossians chapter 1, open your Bible there, and we're going to begin reading down about verse 9. If you're having trouble finding the book of Colossians, it's right there in the New Testament. If you go through page by page, you'll find it. But it'll take you a long time, so hope you don't have to do that, all right? Hope you don't. I wonder how much trouble we'd... Never mind, I won't even go there, all right? Because we're getting a lot of trouble, all right? Try to teach kids the books of the Bible, you know? You need to know your Bible, know how to find things, and so... But you need to know the books of the Bible there, all right? Colossians 1, look if we'll, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. We're going to leave off reading there. The Apostle Paul's writing, obviously, under the inspiration of God. He's writing to the church at Colossae. And I believe the Lord has the Apostle Paul reveal to us his prayer request, if you will, for the believers there in Colossae. Now notice what it's not a prayer for. It's not a prayer for health or wealth. I mean, today that's what people want, all right? Neither is it a prayer for worldly success or recognition in any form. You see, God knows, and the Apostle Paul knew, that all such notions as that are very fleeting. Health is fleeting. Boy, you can be healthy one day and the next day, bad shape. Wealth is fleeting. Some of you said, yeah, it fled before it ever got to me, all right? And so it can be a fleeting thing. Worldly success, boy, we don't even remember people that were successful in years gone by. Now, we could call up names, and a lot of people say, well, who is that? Well, at one time, they were very well known. They had name recognition, but nowadays, they're in the forgotten past. So those things don't last. And more importantly, for a believer, they do not bring us any closer to the form and the fashion that God intends for us to possess. And that's what Paul is concerned with. That's what I believe the Lord is concerned with, that we might have those things God wants us to have. And so his prayer for those believers dealt with things that were eternal, and things that would produce eternal results. The easiest thing for us in this world to do is to forget about the eternal and focus on those things that are temporal, those things that are right now, the things that demand our attention right now. And if we're not careful, we let those things become so important, we forget what really is important. We forget the eternal things. We become convinced they're super important, and we put our concentration on those things, and we miss the real important things in life. And then when we pray about temporal things. We think, man, I need this right here, and I just need this. Hey, we forget to request the eternal things. So would you look at us with us tonight? I want to preach to you on this the believer needs. You said, what does he need? Well, he needs wisdom. He needs wisdom. Look, if you will, there in verse 9, the Apostle Paul, he said, I've never ceased, you know, to pray for him and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom. In all wisdom. We're talking about this wisdom. We're talking about wisdom about the will of God. That's what's so important, all right? It's so important that we know the will of God. We ought to be concerned about the will of God for our life. Now, I've mentioned it a multitude of times. There are certain things that are the will of God for everybody. Every one of us. Hey, it's the will of God for you to be saved. The Bible said he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's His will we'd all be saved. Hey, it's His will after you get saved, you get baptized. It's His will. It's His will that a saved, baptized people be a part of a good local New Testament church and be active in that. That's the will of God for every believer. Every believer. I don't care who they are. Hey, it's the will of God for every believer that we learn to give. And we tithe to God. We give to missions. We give. Hey, that's the will of God. We learn to give, all right? We learn to give. And I could go on and on, but that's not the direction of the message tonight. Hey, what about the will of God for you? What about the will of God for you? If you don't know it, you need to be earnestly seeking that will. The preacher, I'm so old now, it doesn't matter. Well, where'd you get that idea? Where'd you get the idea that there's an age limit on needing to know the will of God? It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. You need to know the will of God. What's the will of God? You need to be in that. Notice he said, be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom. Be filled to know it. I mean, to be filled, convinced, to know what's going on, all right? You ought to know God's will for you. God's will for you. We said, well, I know it's not God's will for me to be a preacher. Great. What is it His will for you to do? It's okay, you know. It's all right. We ought to be constantly, hey, by the way, you ought to constantly seek, Lord, am I in Your perfect will? We need to know that. Hey, we're talking about wisdom to know the will of God. So important. But not only wisdom to know the will of God, but wisdom to do the will of God. Hey, there's a right way to do things. There's a wrong way to do things. There's a wrong way to do the right thing, okay? And there's a right way to do the right thing. Now, there's not a right way to do the wrong thing, okay? In case you were wondering about that, I just want to throw that in, all right? There is not a right way to do the wrong thing, okay? But we ought to be concerned about that will of God. Do I have the wisdom of God and the wisdom to know how to do that will that He wants me? I want to do it in the will of God. Listen, I'm convinced it's the will of God. God called me to preach, okay? Years and years ago, God called me to preach. I surrendered to preach. But every week, I'm concerned. Lord, what do You want me to preach? I'm concerned about that. You say, well, you know, I've known preachers and they've got things mapped out for weeks and even months ahead. You said, do you do that? You got to be kidding. You've got to be kidding. I don't know anything like that. I told my wife this morning, I think I know what I'm going to preach on next Sunday. All right? I'm thinking about preaching on it's not enough to believe in God. Not enough to believe in God. He said, are you sure? Well, I'll let you know next Sunday. All right? I'll let you know if that's really what the Lord wants me to preach. But I'm concerned about how I do the will of God, that I have the wisdom to do it His way, the way He wants it, when He wants it. Hey, that's important that we know that. You say, well, I know the will of God. Do you have enough wisdom to do it? To do it the way He would want you to do it. Hey, it's important that you grasp that will of God. And notice what else it says, and it says, and spiritual understanding. I want to tell you, you need some wisdom if you're going to have spiritual understanding. There's a lot of people today that know a lot of stuff. There are some people today that are extremely intelligent, but they have absolutely no spiritual understanding, none whatsoever. Hey, you said, well, preacher, how do we get that? Well, one thing, you get it, you pray that God will give it to you. You pray that God will give it to you. God Paul said, that's what I'm praying. It's my desire that you be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. He's praying for those folks that they would have that. Hey, by the way, if he prayed that for the folks at Colossae, it's okay for you to pray God give you that same thing. That'd be some wise praying. Lord, help me to have that. Well, just some spiritual understanding. To understand some things. Look, some things go on in this world today. It's a good thing if you've got spiritual understanding. It's a good thing if you do. It is so easy to get deceived. So easy to be deceived in this day. And we need that spiritual understanding. You say, what do we need? We need wisdom. We need wisdom. You say, well, what else did he pray about? Well, look there again in verse 10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. The Apostle Paul prayed about their walk. Their walk. Now, you say, what is the Christian walk? There's not a... Y'all remember, some of you old enough to remember Michael Jackson and the moonwalk. All right? Man, that's real famous at one time. You know, people that do it. I thought it's kind of fascinating to watch you do it, but I thought, what's the purpose? Okay. But anyway, hey, when we talk about the walk of the believer, it's not a certain cadence. It is not, you know, you got to walk with a, you know, it's not anything like that. When we talk about the walk of the believer, what we're talking about is your manner of life, really. It is your life that we're talking about. And, hey, Paul prayed about that walk. The walk of the believer is there for all the world to see. Everybody sees that. Everybody sees it. That then your walk, you expose that when you go to the gas station. Go down here to racetrack or wherever you shop for gas, at the grocery store. Your walk is revealed. All right? I mean, it's part of it. It's your lifestyle, the way you conduct yourself. Okay? We need to be concerned about that, because that walk that you have bears testimony for you when you don't have the opportunity to say anything. You don't have the opportunity to say a word. Your walk bears testimony for you. It witnesses to people. It witnesses to people. They see you get mad. What do you do? I mean, what do you do? Now, don't get too quiet on me. I'll have to preach here the rest of the night, okay? So, but how do you handle it when you get mad? Right. What goes on? What goes on there? Just, what do? You get upset with people. How do you handle it? That's your walk. It bears testimony to you, all right? Folks that you don't know and you don't speak to can still see your walk. You don't have to know them. You don't have to speak to them, but they see you. They see you. What do they see? Well, they see your walk. They see your daily walk, that manner of life that you live, all right? That manner of life. Now, notice what Paul said he asked God about that walk. He said that you might walk worthy of the Lord, and then it says unto all pleasing. We might walk worthy of him. You say, well, I could never be worthy. Well, you could please him. You could please him. You can do that, all right? Our walk, that walk is to be pleasing to the Lord. Now, I'm going to put this in. It doesn't have to please you. All right, doesn't have to please you. It doesn't have to necessarily please your friends, your family, or anybody else. But it surely needs to please the Lord, all right? Surely needs to please the Lord. You sometimes get a new hairdo and you ask a friend, how do you like this? Well, surely you should have thought about that before you asked, before you got the new hairdo. If your idea was, I want to know if it pleases you. If it pleases you. Hey, look, what we do in this life, our walk, we need to be sure, hey, is it pleasing God? Is what I'm doing, the way I'm doing it, does it please God? Does it please God when I lose my temper? Oh, yeah, I said we'd try to move on past that, all right? When you get mad, all right, does that please God? We say, well, no, all right. Hey, the way you treat your spouse, does that please God? You said nobody sees that. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. They see that. Hey, the way you treat your parents, does it please God? Does it please God? Hey, you hear me, all right? We ought to be concerned about that. Paul said, I'm praying about your walk. Praying about your walk. I want you to have some wisdom, but you can't walk if you don't have wisdom. It's mighty hard to have a right walk with God unless and until you know the will of God. It's hard to please Him. Okay? It's hard to please Him if you don't know the will of God. And your walk will definitely please God if you're walking in His will, okay? So what are you getting at? Well, I hope you already figured it out. These things go together, all right? They don't exist out there. You can't say, well, I'm not going to worry too much about the wisdom. I'm worried about my walk. Well, if you don't have the wisdom, you're going to have trouble with the walk, all right? You're just going to have trouble with the walk. And so you need that. Hey, but if all you've got is the wisdom, but your walk's not right, then I question if you really got in touch with the wisdom. All right? Do you really have that? If it doesn't affect your walk, if it doesn't affect the way you conduct yourself and the way people see you and the way you live, hey, Paul said, I'm going to pray about those things. Now he said, I'm going to pray that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom. And then I'm going to pray that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. But notice that next thing he says there in verse 10. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Hey, he prayed about his work. Fruitful. Fruitful in every good work. Man, by the way, I believe you could probably preach a sermon on every one of these things. But I'm not going to do it tonight, all right? I just want to see it the way they fit in here, all right? The believers to be concerned about bearing fruit. We're to be concerned with the fruit that we have in our life. And fruit is produced or at least displayed in our good work. In our good work. He said, I'm praying about that. That every good work. Every good work. We ought to be concerned. Every work that we put forth is to be that which produces fruit. And it ought to be out there. It ought to be seen, all right? It ought to be seen. Too often we spend our lives in work that really doesn't produce much. You ever spent your day and they got through and at the end of the day you sat down and go, now what have I really accomplished? I told my wife, my daughter's coming this next weekend, and she's going to be with us a few days. And so I was trying to clean up my study, which is a never-ending chore, all right? So I was trying to do it, and I told her she's gone a little bit. I said, well, while you're gone, I was working on that. I said, the only trouble is if you go back there, you're probably going to say, I thought you said you was doing something back here. I did, but you just can't tell it, all right? You can't see it. Hey, sometimes our life, the work we do, if we're not careful of what it is, it doesn't really produce anything. It doesn't produce any fruit. It's kind of meaningless for the long haul, okay? Meaningless for the long haul. What good have we done if when we've spent our life, we look back and there's really been nothing accomplished for God? For God. Man, I don't know about you, but I'm concerned that I might leave an impact for the Lord. We've got the Christian school. I've asked you to pray. We want to have an influence in those lives. We want to put an influence in their life. There have been multitudes, I don't know how many kids have come through the Christian school and how many that have had a chance to try to mold. And I wonder sometimes, what have I done to help them? How much of a difference has it made? It's so good every now and then to see somebody years later and they say to you, hey, I'm still serving the Lord. I'll never forget meeting a lady. I started to say a young lady. She is young, relatively speaking. And down at McPherson Road Baptist Church, way on the south side of Fort Worth, went in there and she came up to me and she said, your brother Mosley? I said, yeah. She said, now, were you at Terminal Baptist Church? I said, yeah. She said, you run a bus? I said, yeah, sure did. And she said, well, it's either you or your brother that picked me up on the bus. And I said, well, where'd you live? And she told me where she lived. And I said, well, you rode my bus. She rode my bus. And, hey, she's serving the Lord. Hadn't seen her in umpteen years. What a blessing. What a blessing. And she said, man, I appreciate what you did and the difference you made just coming by and picking us up. Picking us up. Hey, I don't know about you, but that's what makes life worth living. That's what makes life worth living. It really doesn't matter if you leave a great monument that's got your name on it. Big deal. Big deal. You leave a gravestone that's got your name on it, and just a few years after you're gone, anybody walk up there and say, wonder who that was. Man, I want to leave something for the Lord, all right? I want to leave behind some good works that produces some fruit, something that will last for the long haul. Man, God help us to get involved in the work with a view to eternity, not just right here, not just right here. You say, well, my best years are behind me, but you still got a little bit of time. So, well, don't know how long, me either. But I'll tell you, if it's just a day or two, I'd like to do something with that day or two. If it's just a few months, want to use those few months. If it's years, want to use those years. Want to contribute, want some good work. Most people in the world of Christendom are familiar with the name of Nate Saint. Nate Saint was a missionary who was killed down in Ecuador. Man, I think it was in the late 50s, early 60s is when he was killed. And they were trying to work with a tribe back in there that nobody had ever worked with. He and several other men were killed. But he made this statement. He said, people who do not know the Lord ask why in the world we waste our lives as missionaries. They forget that they too are expending their lives. And when the bubble is burst, they will have nothing of eternal significance to show for the years they have wasted. Oh, my soul, just think about that. Just think about that. How terrible it is to live this whole life and realize at the end of it, I've wasted it. I've wasted every bit of it. Hey, I made a lot of money. Well, whoopee. Whoopee. Well, I lived in a big house. Good for you. Good for you. Man, I had the nicest car. Good, good. I'm glad. And I am. I'm not saying that sarcastically. I can be sarcastic, but I'm not saying that sarcastically. I am glad. That's wonderful. I'm not against any of that. But what have you done that's going to outlast you? What have you done that's going to meet you in heaven? I mean, what have you got accomplished, all right? Hey, that's the kind of work I'm talking about. That's the kind of work I'm talking about. Something that you put it in, serving the Lord Jesus Christ, giving your life for something that's a lot bigger and a lot more important than you yourself. Doing something for Him. Just doing something for Him. You may have to work a job. You may have to work a job that make the money, but that ought to be just so it'll sustain you so that you can produce fruit in every good work. All right? Nothing wrong with that. All right? That's fine. God doesn't call everybody to be a missionary. God doesn't call everybody to be a pastor. God doesn't call everybody to teach in a Christian school. But I'm telling you, boy, you find the will of God for your life and get in that work that God wants you to do, because the will of God will always involve work. Okay? Always going to involve some work. And don't think, well, I can retire from it. Well, I'll retire from it when they haul my body in the casket. You can look in there and say, Brother Mosley retired. All right? He is fully, completely retired. All right? I just want to serve Him, do something, produce some good works with my life, some fruit that's going to last. All right? It'll be there, and it'll long survive me. I'll be able to meet it in heaven one day. Boy, hey. What are you doing with that life? Paul's praying for these folks at Colossae. He said, I don't want you to just spin your wheels all your life and produce nothing. Now, we stand here and we say, well, what did they do? I don't know. I don't know. The truth of the matter is, most of the work of God goes unsung. Nobody hears about it. Nobody hears about it. Listen, I've said this, and I've heard others say it. I believe it. I believe one day when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, we might be surprised at what gets handed out to the people that we thought, man, I didn't think they'd ever, yeah, because you weren't paying attention. You see, the Lord rewards faithfulness. Faithfulness. Just be faithful. I want to do something that's going to produce works. I want to do something for Him, all right? Every good work, that's the believer. He ought to be concerned about that kind of work. Ought to be concerned, all right? So notice, he prayed for the wisdom. He prayed about your walk. He prayed about your work. But look at verse 11. Strengthen with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering. Boy, and I'm glad he didn't leave out those last two words. With joyfulness. Hey, he prayed, if you will, for his wealth of power. Wealth of power. Strengthen with all might. Notice, according to his glorious power. Not strengthened, not to be strengthened with the might of man, but the power of God. Power of God. You can be a wimpy little dude, but have the power of God. Have the power of God. It's not dependent on that. You ever stop and think about what the relation of the child of God to the power of God? In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, it says that the believer is kept by the power of God. Kept by the power of God. Hey, listen, I'm saved because years ago as a 9-year-old boy, I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I have not always acted like a Christian. I have not always done things that pleased my Lord. But I am still saved because I'm kept by the power of God. Kept by the power of God. Not kept with what I can do. It's not what I've been able to hold on to. It's Him holding on to me, all right? Kept by the power of God. Then the Bible goes on in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 5, and it says that our faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Our faith is not to stand in the wisdom of men, but it's to stand in the power of God. Our faith is not dependent on us being able to figure it out. It ought to be dependent upon the power of God. The power of God gives us that faith. As we yield to the Holy Spirit, that power is going to have more effect in our lives. We'll yield to Him, give ourselves to Him. Once again, concerned about our walk, okay? Once again, concerned about our work. And His will and having the wisdom to be in that, those things help us to have that power of God on us. And that power of God is what enables us to do the will of God. It enables us to have a walk that's pleasing to God. The truth of the matter is, on my own power, on your own power, I'll never please God. I could never please God on just based on my power. You could never do that. Hey, I'd have a hard time doing the will of God in my power. In my power. I come to preach and I really ask God, Lord, help me to have your power as I preach. Now, it doesn't have to make your hair stand up when I preach, all right? Because some of you couldn't tell it. You don't have no hair to stand up, all right? So it wouldn't do in that way. But that's not the power of God. But I want that power of God to do the work God's called me to do, all right? It's that power. It's that power that helps us to be patient when we need to wait upon God. You see that what it says there in verse 11? Unto all patience. How do you wait? Well, I need God's power to wait. need God's power. You ever seen some people start fidgeting when they're having to wait? I'm a pretty good fidgeter if I have to wait. And the longer I wait, the better I fidget, all right? I don't like waiting. But, hey, sometimes when it comes, we have to wait on God. We've got a thought. We wish God to take care of it right now. He'd do it right now. But God's not always, he's not at our beck and call. He's not there to satisfy us. He's saying, you wait, I'll take care of you. We need that power to help us wait upon him, and it will do it. Hey, it's that power that enables us to suffer through adversity. That's what it says there, that we might, and long suffering. We need the power of God. You know, we think the power of God is for doing great, mighty things and attracts everybody's attention. No. Sometimes you need the power of God to get you through that adversity that you're having to face. You need God's power. You need God's power. You need to depend on him. Not on you, not on what you can do, but Lord, I need your power to get me through this. You're going to face some things in life. Some things come our way that are tough sledding. So how do you get through it? The power of God. Power of God. Not through my, well, it's my wonderful attitude about life. No. No, it's the power of God. We need that. We need it. And to do it with joyfulness. Joyfulness. Now, sometimes we can tell people aren't doing it with the power of God because there ain't no joy. All right? There's no joy evident. They're suffering, and they make sure you know they're suffering, okay? That's the kind of person that you learn never to ask them, how you doing? How you doing? Used to be a lady on my bus route. I picked her daughter up for years, and occasionally she rode, picked her daughter up for years. And by the way, that daughter brought more kids, more teens to the youth department than any other person we ever had in church. Any other person I can ever remember. She'd bring more people, all right? But I learned, and I went on Saturday and knocked on her door. I learned, how you doing? And as soon as it came out of my mouth, I go, what'd you ask that? Because you're fixing to hear. And it's never good, all right? I mean, boy, it was a burden. And by the time she got through, I could barely make it to my car, all right? It was tough. It was tough, and always that way. Hey, listen, that's not with joyfulness, okay? Not with joyfulness. We need that power. We need a wealth of that power from God. Boy, how we need it. How we need it. I want you to see again what Paul prayed for these believers at Colossae. He said, man, I want you to have some wisdom, be filled with wisdom and all wisdom and knowledge in his will. Oh, we need that wisdom. We need that wisdom. Do you ask God for that? Do you ask God for that? Hey, we need help with our walk. And I don't know about you, but don't you want to walk to please him? Walk to please him. One day I want to be able to stand before him and hear him say, well done. Well done. One day I want you to stand before him and hear him say, well done. Well done. That walk pleased him. God help us to have that kind of walk. Hey, he prayed for their work. He said, I want you to be fruitful. I want you to be fruitful. I want that work that you do to produce fruit for eternity. Produce fruit. Produce something that's going to last. Give it everything you've got. Give it everything you've got. Hey, he prayed for that they'd have a wealth of the power of God, and they'd have it and produce it with joyfulness. Paul prayed that those believers at Colossae would have those characteristics in their life. You and I need to seek the same thing. We need to pray for it. We need to seek it. And we need to work to produce such things in our own Christian life. Hey, are you doing that? Are you doing that? Are you conscious of it? You say, well, I'm not having a lot of success. Well, are you trying? Hey, aren't you glad God's not going to stand us all up and put us side by side and say, you didn't do as much as they did? Aren't you glad God's not going to do that? I'm glad, and I stand before God, He's not going to say, okay, Paul, come over here. We're going to measure your life against his. Don't do that. I'm glad He's not going to do that. But I do want the Lord to at least think, you've done what you could. You've done what you could. Lord, have you done that? Are you doing that? No, I did that for a long time, but you know, now, wait a minute, you're still alive. You're still breathing, okay? Yeah, but I can't do what I used to could do. God doesn't want you to do what you used to could do. He wants you to do what you can do now. Now, okay? Not a matter of what you used to could do. What can you do now? What will you do? Well, would you just take a look at your life? Are you asking God for these things? These things mean anything to you? Boy, I think they should. I think they should. How about your walk? How about your wisdom? How about your work? How about that power? Asking God for it. Heavenly Father, would you help us tonight? Or just simple truth from the Word of God. Lord, not anything that's going to change the world, but Lord, it could change our world. It could change some people right around us. It could make a difference for them. And Lord, if every Christian get involved, it would change the world. Would you help us? Lord, just help us to be honest with ourselves. Just take a look at our own life. Lord, not measuring against anybody else's, just measuring against what we know we should do. And Lord, if there's somebody here that doesn't know the will of God, would you help them to get concerned about seeking that will for them? Lord, if there's some need to increase their work, help them to get after it. Not producing the fruit they ought to, Lord, help them. Lord, if there's some tonight that their walk's not what it should be, would you burden them and convict them? And Lord, I believe every one of us ought to be desirous of more power from you. Lord, give us tonight a burden. Give us a concern. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand tonight? I'm going to sing page 370's invitation hymn, I Need Thee Every Hour. Boy, and we do. We need Him. We need Him. Look, if you need to come, the altar's here. Don't ever be afraid to use the altar in the house of God, all right? Don't ever be afraid to do it. Use it if you need to. You come tonight while we sing. Come on.
I need Thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like Thine can be so poor. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. To Thee.
live.